Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Zivi Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zivimedia.com or follow me on social at Zivi Owens or join the community at Zivi Readers. Denise Dorrance is the author of Polar Vortex, a family memoir, which, by the way, is a graphic novel and also, by the way, was really deeply affecting and moving. And I really recommend you take an hour and just read this book. American-born cartoonist and illustrator Denise Dorrance worked in magazines in New York for 12 years, including at Cosmopolitan under Helen Gurley Brown, before moving to London in 1993. Her cartoons have run for decades in many publications, including The Mail on Sunday UK. Polar Vortex is her first graphic novel. In the UK, it was shortlisted for the 2020 Myriad First Graphic Novel Competition and won the LD Comics 2020 Rosalind B. Penfold Prize. Enjoy. Welcome, Denise. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Polar Vortex, a graphic novel.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
This is it my only graphic novel? It's definitely one of the only ones. And you came highly recommended by Miranda Cowley Heller, who wrote The Paper Palace, which is one of my all-time favorites. So anything she said, I was like, yes. And then I read your book and oh my gosh, I couldn't put it down. It was so immersive and so powerful. And like, I felt so almost dysregulated after reading it, like so sad, almost like I had gone through grief myself, you know, that whole, anyway, it was so powerful and you did a fabulous job. So I'm really glad I read it and I'm glad you wrote it.
Thank you so much. It's a book you can read in one sitting. I think that's it's nice to get a book and really have a whole week to read it, although maybe it takes you 1 hour, I don't know. But I've kind of said it's like watching a film that takes about that amount of time, and it's that kind of experience.
It's like a multimedia emotion factory.
Do you have it in your life at all? Has this touched you in any way of your...
It hasn't, but it's a fear, right? It's like, so maybe we should back up, and why don't you tell listeners what Polar Vortex is about, and it is not about a weather system necessarily, although that plays a part.
It does, it's very important, weather system, actually, because that became symbol for the dementia that I'm going through. So it's a personal story, although I have found once I started talking about it, it's a subject that touches so many people, even universally. So while mine is set in America, I think it's happening everywhere. This elderly care, dementia, how families survive that nuclear bomb that goes off in the family. And so it's based on my own experience of my elderly mom who fell at home in Iowa, and I was in London. And I rushed back to help her, thinking it was going to be a few weeks. And it turned out to be almost 2 months that I spent with her. And while she was sort of deteriorating in dementia, and it became very clear she wasn't going to go home, which is a big theme in the story, home.
Yes.
I was quickly thrown into the situation where I had to then make a decision for her future. Not just me, but, you know, there was my sister, but we were not speaking. So that's another layer of the story. Siblings fall out when parents aren't there as leadership, really. Mm-hmm. So I was thrown into this kind of polar vortex of having to navigate my mom's future. And it just, nothing felt right. None of the choices felt right, but we had to make one. And so the plot starts with that fall of my mom at home and me rushing to help her, and then follows the intense but short, relatively short journey that I had to make. But it was her entire future that was being decided. So, and I kept a diary, and that's the only reason I could actually write this book, because I kept a diary while I was there, sitting next to my mom in the care home or sitting home alone in my family home. And that diary helped me access the intense kind of feelings and the funny things that happened too. You know, I probably wouldn't have remembered with such intensity, but I had this diary with all the notes that I'd kept, which I picked up when I started writing the book. So it was really helpful.
Well, the combination of this new landscape that you had to navigate and bringing your own thoughts and feelings and life into it, right? You're not just, you don't have all the time in the world. Like, you have your own family and you have your own life and job and everything. And yet, right, when something happens to a parent, you have to stop them. Like, who else? And I think that was part of one of these, one of the very sort of lonely feelings of the story is like, if not you, who? Like, what happens when our parents get older? And of course it has to be you, but also what about them? And what about, I know at certain times your mom was trying to advocate for herself and saying, well, I don't want to leave my home. But then the next minute, not knowing who she was or who you were, you know, so how do you honor their, how do you honor their wishes and yet make sure they're okay? And then all the insurance stuff and what is even possible and the nice home versus the not nice home. And oh my gosh.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, I don't wish it on anyone. And I mean, when I started the book, I would, you know, sort of start talking about what the subject was. And within a second, people would jump in and start telling their own story of their own experience. And so you know, I think it does boil down to just a very common story that people have to deal with, this issue of the end of their parents' life, really. And I think, you know, the insurance, I mean, it was very important to the plot, but it's a really boring subject. And so I had fun kind of, you know, the humor kind of making it humorous, telling the story of my mother's insurance situation, which meant she had very little money to give to her care, her private care.
And even though they had been putting money away in this insurance sort of scam, if you will, where, you know, their whole life they were putting aside money, and then it comes time and it cares for like 2 hours or something crazy.
Yeah, 2 hours a day, which doesn't even begin to cover it. And, you know, we had help. We relied on the church and, you know, friends. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, it's not enough in the day. And then as the daughter or son, you know, you just want to go and fill that gap.
Yep.
But that's impossible.
Really, and there was also, you really highlighted, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You really highlighted how much higher functioning she was at home, right? Like, she got right back into her house and could putter around and do all the normal things. And yet when she was in one of these new environments, was just sort of like in a wheelchair, just sitting there or confused. Yeah. And I think that every so often you had this fear expression on her face in the evenings, which, oh my gosh, got to me so much when, like, just to have your parents be afraid like that and confused. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and you know, my whole thing was I wanted to keep my mom at home. Mm-hmm. That was my plan. And that became an issue between him and my sister, who wanted, really, and with all love and care, wanted my mom to be put into a, you know, a nursing home or a care home that could look after her. And so, you know, while my mom was highly functioning at home, but was she? You see, I didn't really, I was here.
Yep.
I called her every day and we spoke and I could check in. But increasingly she would start to tell really weird stories about people in the basement and, you know, strange things that were happening in there. And I do think being at home was for her the safest place. And when you move people with dementia, they're very discombobulated. It takes a while for them to settle. And then she settled in the care home eventually. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other issue with insurance. And yeah, it's quite messy. It's messy.
And where is she now?
She died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But she was 93. She lived a really, really full, long life. And she died at home, you know, with my sister. She moved to live with my sister on the West Coast.
How much longer after the events of the book?
About a year and a half. Wow. She was with my sister. And what was really awful and what really inspired me to write this graphic novel was that when my mom died, it was during COVID. And so we had no funeral, no memorial. There was nothing to honor her life. And that was awful. I just thought it was unfair. And so the book really is in her honor. It was to celebrate her life, really, which we couldn't do when she died.
Oh, I was very, very close with my grandmother, and she had dementia at the end, although not to the extent of your mom, and was in a home, but she had like a blast in the place. And both my grandmothers went to homes and like had this whole new social life and men trying to date them. And like, they were like, you know, bells of the ball in different places.
Yeah.
But so that was fun for them.
It doesn't have to be a terrible experience.
Yeah. But still, having to move. I mean, moving is one of the most stressful things at any age, right? And you just, you know, just having to give up that level of control. And, you know, you spend your life trying to figure out what you like and you're like making rooms look, you know, inviting. And then to think that like at the very end, you have to end up in some like terrible room that is not even of your choosing anyway.
Right, right. With a little shelf that you have a couple of photographs and, I mean, yeah, it's a lesson for what we think's important and what we hold on to.
Yes, very true. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss and your dad and your brother. And oh my gosh, you've had so much loss in your life. It must have just brought up all of everything. And maybe could you talk about your brother had a brain tumor and then an operation and he wasn't the same after? Tell me what happened.
Yeah. I was very close to my brother. He was 8 years older, and I really admired him. And he got a brain tumor when he was at college and then had surgery to remove. It was benign, so he had surgery. But the recovery was very long and slow, and, you know, it was a complicated surgery. So he really, really wasn't the same, and that reduced his life. He wasn't disabled, but you know, it just reduced how so my mom looked after him, really. He lived independently, but, you know, he never really launched, but had a wonderful life and was a great artist. And so I don't look back with sadness, really, at any of that, actually. I find that, I mean, death is part of our living, and I had a very close relationship with my brother anyway, up until the end, actually.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry to make you sad.
No. I'm sad because I am feeling you.
I know you're empathetic. It's what we do on the planet. Yeah. We empathize with each other, of course.
And the one drawing where you had almost like the ghost of your dad next to your mom. Oh,
yeah. But still, I mean, I haven't actually read it for a while because I get very emotional when
I bet.
No, I wrote it. I get quite emotional. Yeah, it brings up a lot of things.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/momsdonthavetime. Tell me a little bit about your whole other, like your career up until this book in comics and drawing and your, you know, journal, you know, just all of it. Tell me about all of that.
Yeah. Well, so I had a completely different career until I had my son. So my career previous to having my baby, quite late in life, I was 38, was in photography, and I was an agent, and you know, New York, and quite a fast, fun life. And then I moved to London and had my baby, my son. And when he was sort of old enough to understand, I started drawing with him, and those became cartoons, and those were then, you know, seen by magazine editors and started to be published. And so suddenly, to my surprise, I was a cartoonist, and you know, I hadn't really understand it, but I grew up really in a house, you know, there was a humor in my house. My mom used to write poems that were quite humorous for our birthdays. So I think, you know, there was something bubbling inside me probably always that I would be able to write funny cartoons. So I developed a character called Mimi, who was a fashionista mom, a New York kind of international mom, but she had a baby and the baby fit into her life rather than the other way around. Like a lot of parents, I think, you just naturally sacrifice for your child, for your children. And she refused to do that. So she was fun. And she ran in newspapers and magazines for about 10 years. I had a column in a newspaper in London. And then I finished with her. And then I took a break. And then this event kind of happened in my life. And I'd always wanted to write a graphic novel, but they're difficult. They're really difficult. And they take a long time. So I never had the story that I really wanted to tell. So it kind of just beautifully happened at the same time, my mother's story and my real desire to tell it in a different way. I couldn't do it as a comic book. I don't think of this as a comic book, really.
No.
Not, is it? Yeah. I call it an illustrated story because I think I really do want to reach people who might shy away from what they think of as a comic book, because I've tried very hard to, you know, illustrate it in a way that's not, you know, traditional comic book format, squares, and you know, it's more flowy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like I'm.
Yes, you answered my question. It's funny. My mom, her grandma name is Mimi. That's funny. I'm going to have to. Yeah. Did you ever compile the.
Yeah, there's a book. There's a book called It's All About Mimi.
Oh my God. That's so perfect.
We self-published it. Do you remember Kickstarter?
Yes.
Yeah. So we did a Kickstarter campaign when it was really. That was very hot and happening. And that's how we published Mimi, the book.
Wow. And where is it? Is it on Amazon? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I am going to buy her like 10 copies. That's perfect. She'll like put them all over the place. That's so funny. So perfect. Oh my gosh. I love that. So having navigated this sort of difficult terrain, which many people tread, and coming out sort of with the feelings of sort of loss and, you know, just the craziness of the experience and, you know, being in it like that. For people who are just starting this journey or who are also going through it or whatever, are there any things that made it at all easier for you along the way that you would recommend, even if it's as simple as a cup of tea at the end of the day or something? Like, what helped you through?
That's a great question. And I'm not an expert in any way. And I, you know, I just experienced it, this very small personal story with my mom. But I think the takeaway for me was she wanted me close. And maybe it could be anyone. Maybe it was just someone being close to her. You know, I think dementia is quite frightening. It's scary in your mind when you know it's happening. You know, it doesn't just hit. It's gradual and it comes and goes. It's you know, some days are good, some days are very bad. So, for example, when I flew with my mother, I took her to live with my sister. Mm-hmm. And on the plane, she was really freaking. But very disoriented, of course. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And I just took her hand. I held her hand. And it just calmed her down. And I think, I know it seems really simple, but that sort of attention and affection, I think, is worth anything else you can do for someone in dementia. I think just being there for them quietly, they just know you're there, and holding them. That would be my advice. You're going to make me cry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't want it to be sad. I don't want it to be a sad book. I feel like there was so much joy and humor. My mother had a great sense of humor. And I really tried very hard to keep that in the book. I think dark things in life, there is a sense of humor you can fold into it to make it just a little bit lighter.
Yes.
You know, it's not laugh out loud, but it's nuanced. It's like there's a poignancy, but it's lots of different feelings come up.
Yes.
In intense moments, if that makes sense.
Like how to buy suitably warm clothes in Iowa in the middle of a snowstorm. That was funny.
Why do you think I worked that out? How did I not? I was in such a panic when I left. I think I literally didn't think. And I didn't know this polar vortex was coming. Have you experienced one? Do they come
your
way?
They just had one. Yeah, we just had one.
So, I couldn't find the shovels in the house. I did literally go to Target and try and find, you know, the right gear, because people are very, in the Midwest, you know, people are walking around in serious winter gear.
Yes. Well, it was not exactly an advertisement for Iowa, the balmy shores of Iowa. You know, I was like, oh my gosh.
Lovely summers.
Lovely summers. Oh, that's so funny. No, I don't mean to say that the book itself is only sad. It's not. That's what makes it so interesting, right? It's the full range of the human emotions that go along with difficult situations and being in it and, you know, the good and the bad and getting to know your mom and, you know, those couple scenes. There was a nurse attendant who came in at one point who said, I'm here, you're safe, I'm with you. And then she ended up saying that to her, you know, a girl across the way. And this is good advice, not just for dementia. This is like when anyone's going through anything, the power of sitting there holding their hands and listening. I mean, for all the books and advice and stuff, that's really, you know, the crux of it is that we have to be there for each other through all the hard stuff we go through. And
I know it's very, very simple, I think.
And that's not a text message. You know what I mean? Like, it's not an email. It's not sending flowers. It's being there in person and doing that.
Is
a lot more important.
Yeah. It's hard. It's, of course, people don't live, you know, right next door to their parents and all that guilt. But when you can, or for anyone, as you say, it's, you know, share the love.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, what else are you working on these days?
Your brain. Because it was quite an intense period writing, physically even, just, you know, I was very bad about, you know, there's this sort of the rules you must follow, that you must take a break and, you know, don't sit for 2 hours and write. But I would sit for 5 hours because, you know, you must experience that as well. Are you disciplined about taking a break while you're sitting writing?
I didn't even know I was supposed to take a break. I don't take breaks at all. Sometimes I sit here like the whole day and aside from going to the bathroom, like I wouldn't get up like ever. I'm like, I've moved, you know, there was one day my husband flew to LA and got to the house and like did all this stuff. And I was like, I have not moved. Maybe I got up once.
Giving you some advice as an older woman Yes. Don't do it. Not good for you. Take okay. right. There's something called the Pomodoro method where you I don't know. Yeah, you write for 20, take 5 minute break. Right. I know it's impossible, but I would like to do another graphic novel. I definitely would. I'm not sure yet. I might revisit New York, my New York days. We'll see. It's, you know, this is a hard one to follow. This has done so well beyond my expectations. I'm going to see how this, what happened. I'm still happily enjoying the success of this, actually.
Well, I think you should do something about your son, you know?
Oh.
I would like to
read son.
That. Yeah.
Oh,
getting older, going away. Right. I don't know. Right. All of that. Yeah. I mean, it's another form of loss in a way, like as your child gets older. I don't know. Those complicated feelings. I feel like there must have been a time where you felt like you went to college or it was, you know, I don't know, some moments where you had to let go more. I feel like that's another really relatable thing that a lot of people go through.
You know, it's tricky writing memoir. You have to be careful. You know,
yes, that's true.
Protecting others and making sure it's okay.
Yeah.
But in this way, I had, well, not because my mother wasn't there, but what was great about doing this story as a graphic novel is that I could suddenly leave facts and just be surreal, you know, and kind of launch into a game show or, you know, I didn't have to like literally follow what had actually happened.
Yes.
So you can play with the story.
You can put, you know, Zoolander in your book and it's okay.
Right. You need to contact Ben Stiller.
Oh, did he say it was okay?
No, I haven't told him.
Oh, gosh. I was wondering about this, right? Well.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope he likes it. Yeah.
Ben Stiller, if you're listening, it was used in a really great way. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for your story. I'm actually writing a graphic novel with my daughter. Not
really?
This time. Yeah, we hired an illustrator of a book that she loves, like a real, you know, his name's Mike White, and she loves his books about Melly Bean. Anyway, we wrote a middle grade novel that wasn't really being picked up. I was trying to sell it, and she only reads graphic novels, and she kept being like, let's make it a graphic novel. So we were in the process of adapting it, which is quite fun, and illustrating, you know, one chapter at a time. We sent him the chapters, and he's doing them. So she was just picking out the character's clothes yesterday and changing the colors that he wanted to use. And she's like, no, those colors don't match. Like, why don't we try this? So,
because it's a shame she can't illustrate it.
She really could. She's an amazing artist. She does art all the time. That's all she does all day is, you know.
Why isn't she doing it?
I don't know. She didn't want to.
It's a lot. But maybe you could put some of her drawings in it. Like give her, you know, I think that would be interesting to have her drawings in there as well.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a dream a character has or something that she could.
Yeah.
A little event.
She could illustrate. This is a good, so it's called Diary Hoppers, about a group of girls who have the power to go into their mom's diaries. So, and go back and sort of go back in time. It's not about time travel, but it's so you like learn more about your parents. Thank you. I think it's like a great idea.
Oh,
but anyway,
that's great.
So, but now what she could do is she could do the diary itself and we could have little pages from that.
Nice.
Yeah. I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm going to ask her to do it today. Okay. Yeah, she'll love it.
Really cool.
So this is good. We'll just keep giving each other ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, checking in.
I like it. Yeah, that's cool. I love it.
Anyway. Okay. Denise, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you. Lovely, lovely to chat with you.
Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.